It's a privilege this time of Christmas to be celebrating together with you on the birth of Jesus Christ. At the same time, we are reminded afresh that He is Emmanuel, God with us. God dwells in your heart and minds. We have welcomed Him to your life. And also He promises to give us eternal life as well. He's also the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. He gives us the peace that we are not going about alone. If you look at the world, there's a lot of tribulation and trouble. But in the inner person of you and me, we can have that peace. And He's also the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the wonderful Counselor. Through the Holy Spirit, gives us every moment of the day. But at the same time, I think you and I have experiences, periods of joy and periods of sorrow and sadness. First, a period of joy. 2016 is very special. Suli, my wife, a father and mother, at a much older age, accepted the Lord as the Savior and Lord this September. And in November, they were baptized in Singapore. But also, if accompanied with that, is also some measure of sorrow in that we are here by ourselves, and many of you know I'm in a similar situation at this time, and we're not with the family. But God is no man's debtor. Whatever you are involved in, the Lord is there to guide and help you through. Also, on the other hand, I have a friend. Ronaldo is his name. He's stage 4 cancer. In a marvelous way, he's been given remission right at this time. And my involvement also has been with the Fort McMurray fire, as you're aware, May and June this year, where over 2,500 homes were destroyed and lives were very affected. But out of it all, the Lord tells us in His Word that He turns beauty into ashes. And the wonderful part is to see the people who've been so used to driving fast cars and expensive cars and things like that, for them to reconsider their lives afresh, giving up the material for spiritual renewal. Only God could do that. Now, I'm certain you have experiences of all different kinds as well, but again, we know that He is in control. I have yet another friend who can hardly eat, cannot speak, bed sores, bowel movement constrictions. And his wife has been saying, been there for about 4 or 5 years in that state. His wife has been saying and praying, "Oh Lord, how long?" And a more recent event, you may know, in Alberta, and Dawn comes from Abbotsford, you know, a girl called Letitia Reimer, 13 years old, on November 1st. In her high school, a man walked in and hurt two girls. One was Emily, the other one was Letitia. Letitia succumbed to the wounds and she died. And Emily managed to survive. But out of all this, you know, because of her witness, over 1,000 students around the town of Abbotsford came to the service for her. They heard how Jesus could change their lives to give them an eternal hope. It's a wonderful thing. But at this Christmas time, I'm certain some of you are in sorrow too. I can imagine Letitia Reimer's father, mother, a brother and sister. Their heartstrings must be at bursting point. experiencing the despair in their lives. But again, we may not understand about God in His own time. We'll make all things beautiful, as we are told in Ecclesiastes. On a more recent event, I just received an email, actually, a couple of days ago, from the mother of a lady in her 20s. A is her initial. This is what the mother wrote. "The things I see in her life, the alcohol, the cigarettes, yet on all that, what have you, are the bonds she has, especially with that particular branch of friends. This is very painful. Her depraved lifestyle deteriorates from bad to worse. I get pretty discouraged. I know that there is nothing I can do really except to pray, but I confess, I find it hard to pray sometimes. You may be in that state too, but we are told not to despair." And also, right in the BC itself in Vancouver, I was stunned to see that 13 people died from fentanyl excesses, all in just one day. But we claim, as the hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote, that our God rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. As the hymn I quoted right at the beginning, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Why is there joy to the world? Because of the coming of Christ. But more important, that particular hymn was welcoming the second coming of Christ as well. Not just welcome Him at His birth, but we welcome Him for the second coming. We eagerly look forward to the second coming of Christ, when He will usher you and I who put our faith and trust in Him to reign with Him and make a new heaven and new earth for us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. You know, some of us also despair that we prayed for so long. You say, how long? God, in His perfect timing, will make everything beautiful in His time. We need to run and follow along God's timetable for us. And also some of us, perhaps, may be in a situation where you've asked to be delivered from things like, for example, from alcoholism, from a bad temper, from gossiping, from complaining, from pride, and from selfishness. Again, we wonderfully can claim Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 when it says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work in us. So we trust in Him to guide us through. Before I go to the main text of what I'm going to speak, I'm just going to ask you some questions. Say, for example, the book of John. What is the key verse in the whole book, or Gospel of John? What is the key verse? John 3, 16, right? How about, what is the key verse in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does it say? Huh? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will bring it to pass. What will He bring it to pass? All our difficulties, all our pains, He will bring it to pass. What is the key verse in the book of Acts? I know you are studying the book of Acts, you're only at chapter 4, but I had the privilege of studying this book a bit more. For me, the key verse is basically verse, we quoted that verse this morning. Huh? Acts 20:24. What is that? For I consider my life worth nothing to me, in order that I may finish the race and complete the task which the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Today I'm going to talk about the topic called I Found It. I found it, and I'm going to give you three life, real situations that I'm very aware of it. One was the 1988 Winter Olympics held in Calgary, where I took a concession in the Olympic Plaza during the time of the Olympics, and we got the sole satay or shish kebab, right? Basically barbecue or pork on skewers. And it was wonderful. I had a church backing. They were willing to cut all the meat and season everything, you know. Over 20,000 plus sticks, you know. And what I did was, the Lord directed me to get 20 students from Prairie Bible Institute in Three Hills, Alberta, to do their practicum together with me. And they lived together with me too. So I had a basement. It was with about 20 of these people, guys and girls, a separate area behind me, all living on sleeping bags. And it was a wonderful experience for them, because when I had this concession, some of them would be cooking the shish kebab, okay? And the others would be sitting around, mingling with the crowd, and sitting, chatting around. All of them wore a badge. I found it. People from different nations came to that function, and this ran for about almost 2 weeks, 12 days actually. And obviously when you have that badge, people are curious. They ask you, what did you find? What did you find? And this gave us a wonderful opportunity of sharing the gospel. And these Prairie Bible kids were very interested, enthusiastic, and they shared the gospel. And we had tracts and gospels in different languages, even Russian, of course, in Filipino, Tagalog, and others as well. And it's been a good experience. Basically, we told them this is our unmerited favor that the Lord grants us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it, but it is by God's grace and God's gift to us. He can be able to make us righteous through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as Benji said early on, this is the reason for the season. Another situation, and this is in a true situation in a town called Chilliwack, not too far from Abbotsford. There was a family, the names have been changed so that we don't really identify who they are. This is the Brooks family. The couple, Julie and Scott, they ran a milk farm, a dairy farm. And they got three children. The eldest is Ty, then Dallas, another son, and the youngest is Lucy, a daughter. But with all the things around their home, the son decided that that's not the kind of life he wants. So he ventured out on his own. The parents never saw him for 6 long years. But there is a text on the wall in their home which reads as follows. In this house, we do second chances. We do grace. We do mistakes. We do real, We do, I'm sorry. We do loud, really loud, well. We do hugs. We do love. We do family. It speaks of the importance of family, of faith, and of forgiveness. Have you experienced any of the situations being trapped here? We do second chances. Some of us have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are backslided. God draws us back unto Himself. This lady I quoted to you earlier on, 20-year-old, a daughter involved in smoking and alcohol and what have you. She's been playing for us all young. She's been 3 or 4 years like that. How long? But we persevere because God is the God of second chances. Not second, third, fourth, and fifth. Remember that there is no saint without a past. There is no sinner without a future. We do grace. I have been ungracious sometimes. Sometimes the legal training may not be a good thing. In the sense that you want to go by the letter of the law. But on the other hand, if we access grace, situations can be turned around. You know, I'm certain you have situations like that of children who may be in the same categories as I mentioned about this guy, Dallas, remember? We do mistakes. Many times, multiple mistakes. We do rail. We are real people. We're not for sure makeup people, but we know a real situation. We do, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's very hard to say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I will take responsibility. Or you say, I'll be very delighted to help. Can I help you? Dallas, being 6 years away, the parents prayed for him every day with heartstrings being broken in tears. Both father and mother, Julie and Scott, and the grandmother, Ruth, as well. But at the end of the 6 years, Ian appeared in the same farmhouse. The son, Dallas, came home. But he came home with a lady called Maddie. And Maddie was in advanced pregnancy. Dallas, of course, asked for forgiveness. Confessed for his shortfalls multiple times. He knows too, he is not deserving of forgiveness. But remember the text in the house. In this house, we do second chances, we do grace, we do mistakes, we do rail, we do I'm sorry, we do loud, really loud, well. We do hugs, we do love, and we do family. But Tyler, the elder brother, when he saw all the attention being focused on Dallas, of course, he drew in a tantrum. Is there a story in the Bible with the same kind of situation? The prodigal son. He threw his tantrum at him, and he turned to him and said, you are just doing this because you're out of money, you're coming back just to get off, get on this and go back again to the field. A leopard cannot change his spots. The parents He was upset about his parents too, because the parents gave his the grandfather's car, Studebaker, to the son, Dallas, so he can go to find work and work. Of course, he was very cross by his brother. And next moment, what happened? We do loud, really well. A shouting match between the two brothers, even to the extent of physical attack on him. And the parents had to intervene. Situation. One night, Tai couldn't go to sleep. So he went to the living room, sat on a chair by himself. Then in walked Maddie. She couldn't go to sleep too, so she came in and had a good chat with him. This is where I believe the Lord's leading was there. Maddie told Tai, "Your brother's conversion is real. He has given all that up. I've lived along side by side with him. I've seen him change. Got rid of alcohol, drugs, of unlawful sex, and so on." And she told him of her own background. She said that she was the only child, father and mother gone, all by herself. And world was coming, crashing down on him, on her. She also went the wrong way of life. But God, in his wonderful way, changed the lives of them. And Mary said, "When I first came to this home, meeting up with Scott and Laurie, meeting up with the parents, Julie and Scott, and grandmother Ruth, she was so touched, where it was genuine love shed. And I felt so taken up that the next morning he met up with Dallas and asked for reconciliation. The gift of Jesus allows us to be reunited to God our Father. On a practical front, you know, we need to hug our siblings. We need to say, "I love you," more frequently, more often. I'm guilty of that. I don't say it now, even to my wife. "Sorry, dear." Capitalize on every moment given to you. Live as though this is your last day of living. I can leave this place. I cannot guarantee that I'll be alive. Anything can happen. Right? "Choose you this day whom you will serve," as the Word of God says. Capitalize on every moment given to you. God bless you and your family as we celebrate this Christmas of Jesus' birth. Coming back to the title, coming back to the thing I said, ILU, I love you. Okay? If you were to put the word "only" before each of these letters, you find different things. I love you. If you put the first word, "only," I love you. Okay? The next one is what? "I only love you." Next one, "I love you only." "I love only you." Isn't it marvelous? The English language is amazing. And sometimes can be confusing, isn't it? What is the greatest love verse in the Bible? What is the greatest love verse in the Bible? John 3:16. Okay, this brings me to the third example. Again, this is a real situation in Chicago. This was a teenager who sold newspapers, has got no place to live, lives over a cardboard, somewhere on the road, beneath the bridge, you know. This particular winter was so cold, blasting wind, wintry conditions. It was so cold. So he walked into the police station and asked the police station, "Can you help me find some place where I can live for this night at least?" And the policeman at the station said, "Go to that house, the white house over there. And when you knock at the door, and when someone comes up, you say, John 3:16. So he said, "What John 3:16? So anyway, he went. And he knocked at the door. And the lady opened the door. And he said, "John 3:16. So she was welcome. She welcomed him in. She saw that he was so really a mess of a kid. She sat up, told him, "Go up and pick for you to have a good shower." He went upstairs to the long bath with water and all that. He had a good shower. After he had showered and cleaned up, this lady provided him clothes as well. Put him nice pajamas, I guess, something like it. And then told him, "Come down for dinner." While he was having a shower, she got dinner ready for him. He came down and had a meal. He felt like a $10 million man. And she even took him up and tucked him to bed. And there was a window he could see. He looked up, and even though it was snowing and so on, there was some lights there over there. Then he was wondering, what is this John 3:16? Of course, you know John 3:16. As you can see here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to read the first line of this, the first words of this verse, and you are going to read what is shown as under the colon, okay? I'll give you an example. The greatest love story is found in John 3:16. Verse 1 is, "For God loved." No, yeah, the first one I put, "For God" with a colon. What do you have to read? Oh, cannot go on, is it? Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Act. Okay, first one. "For God so loved," read out, "the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The everlasting life, the greatest promise. Huh? It's wonderful. I know some of you like to take a picture of this. This is very interesting because it gives you a permanent reminder, you know, when things don't chim up the way they are, that you can call upon that verse. The next thing I have is What is your response? What is your response? Or my response? I think the best and greatest response to celebrate Christmas is to become a Christian. To be a follower of Jesus. When we remember Christ's birth as well. Next thing is Christ, the reason for the season. The Christ, the reason for the season. As a verse we have read together, can you read us together here? Happy to everyone read this one. For but beyond that, Apostle Paul mentioned in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Can you read that? Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7 talks about a newborn baby. Not any ordinary baby. But every baby is not ordinary, it's special, right? The unique qualities, character of Jesus Christ. He was special because he came from a sovereign God and he's a sovereign child. He was special because as a sovereign child, he's allowed to be clothed in human flesh. But more than that, Apostle Paul reminds us, he took the nature of a servant. Here you see a unique mix of deity and humanity. What does Christmas mean to the follower of Jesus Christ? What does Christmas mean to the follower of Jesus Christ? I'm reminded of that song. From heaven you came. Next one, okay. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Next one, yeah. Okay. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve and give your life that we may live. Read straight together. This is the servant king. He calls us now to follow him. Live our lives the daily offering. King. Okay. I don't know about you, there's some of you who are believers, and some of you may not come to the point of celebrating Christmas by putting your faith in the Christ Jesus. The question I pose to you is, have you found it? Have you found it? How do we find it? We admit our need. I repent. I'm a sinner, sorry. Admit your need. I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins is to repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. True prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come to your lives. Take control of your life through the Holy Spirit, acknowledging him as Savior and Lord. If you have taken that step, or if you are willing to take that step, we can pray the following prayer. I know that I am a sinner. We shall read together. I know. So I hope if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, if you're not certain of your faith in Christ, take that step. It's the greatest thing you can do. Accept the greatest gift from God, gift of Jesus Christ, born in a manger, without sin, became a man, died on the cross. He shed lifeblood for the remission of your sins and mine. And a commitment beyond that for you and I to have our faith to follow him all the way. It was C.T. Studd who said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice is too great to make for him." Or you can follow what Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says. "I count my life worth nothing to me if only I can finish the race and complete the task which the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." When we step up this year ahead, putting your faith in Christ, if you have not done it, if you have, to turn from all that's gone wrong and to make a life a total recommitment to him, to serve him forever until Jesus returns, as it is a wonderful privilege to be considered children of God. Let's pray. Father, we cannot express enough our words of appreciation for your finished work of redemption on Calvary's cross. In order to save us from going to a lost eternity, to give us a future and a hope. Lord, you know we have different issues and problems in our lives. We are not perfect, but we thank you that we have a perfect God. Lord, melt us, mold us, bend us to the way that you want us to go, that we want to be true followers of the living Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.